All right. Tell you what, I'm so thankful to be here tonight. Just right before we were getting ready this evening, I bent my left leg and pulled the blind to see what was outside, and I had a Charlie horse hit me so hard, I didn't think I was going to make it, man. But I praise God for the pain. There's some folks that don't have a leg that'll hurt. This one, that reminded me I got a leg down there to stand on. Amen. Then wife brought me some pickle juice. I slammed back the pickle juice and had to take some antacid for all the acid and the salt and eat a banana. Now I've kind of got a little upset tummy, but I praise God because some people don't have anything to eat or drink. Amen? That's right. Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We are trudging on through here and getting close to finishing this incredible chapter. We're going to start reading here in verse 35, ground we've already covered, but we will set the context and we'll read all the way through verse 44 this evening. And then we will be covering tonight the second half of verse 42 and taking it through verse 44 in our message or Bible study, whatever you want to call it. So let's all stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God tonight. 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, we'll begin reading here in verse 35. If you found that this evening, would you say amen?
Amen.
Word of God reads this, "But some man will say," this is the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Corinth, "But some men will say, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come?" And the following verses is Paul's rebuttal to that question, or those questions. "Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened, except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain. It may chance of wheat or of some other grain. But God giveth it a body, as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies, and bodies terrestrial, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. We thank you, Lord, for Paul's epistle here to the church at Corinth. We thank you for the fact that it is inspired and it is without any mixture of error, and we praise you tonight for that, that you seek to speak to us. Lord, your word, it always remains, never changes. Everything around us seems to be getting so corrupt and debauched and evil, and yet you remain the same, and we're thankful for that. Thank you that we can hold to you, and you hold to us. We pray tonight, Lord, that we would just, this would be a kind of a know message. In other words, we just get to know more about you and what you have for us. And Lord, we rejoice in that. It's in your name we pray, and everyone said,
amen.
Amen. Well, as in Corinth, so still today, people including some Christians, it still goes on, they become perplexed and bothered about how God could do what? How he could restore the bodies of who? The bodies of those who've been lost at sea. These two little teenage boys left out of Florida over a year ago on a fishing boat, on a just little 19-foot, 18.5-foot boat. That boat washed up. Golly, where did that boat wash up at? I mean, it was way out there. Capsized over, washed up, found a cell phone. Now, they're trying to crack the cell phone and see if they send any text messages or you know, try to call somebody or what. Nowhere to be found. Their bodies are nowhere to be found. I mean, they're just little bitty guys, you know, out there trying to catch some fish. Bad weather was coming in. It got them and took that boat. I want to say off the coast of Jamaica. They found the boat, capsized. And they got the boat back. I got the phone and some of the stuff, but the boys are gone. And so how can God one day bring those bodies that have been lost at sea back together? Well, friend, He can and He will. Amen? What about those bodies blown up in an explosion? We think all the way back to 9/11. We think about all these suicide bombers and how they go in and kill these innocent people, some of them being Christians, some of them being lost. But is He going to be able to bring them bodies? Yes, He's going to be able to bring those bodies back together. What about those that have been cremated? Absolutely, bring them back together. Why? He's restoring those bodies, or why is His restoring those bodies more miraculous and unbelievable than His creating the universe? I mean, we think too small when we think about God. We just think too small. He's a big God, amen? He does incredible things. Well, whether the body has been cremated, blown up, lost at sea, every dead body, no matter how well embalmed, eventually disintegrates, eventually turns to dust. Therefore, if that body resurrects, then someone powerful is behind the resurrection. His name is Jehovah God. Amen? He's behind every one of those resurrections. Yet verse 35, which we read again this evening, still echoes the objection to and the doubt of a general resurrection. How could God possibly reassemble the bodies of everyone who has died throughout the ages of history? And that doubt, that question is followed by another question or doubt. What kind of body are the resurrected to have? And so Paul begins to answer this question four ways. We've covered two ways. We're going to cover the third way, and then we'll cover the fourth way next week. The first way was that nature illustrates the resurrection. Dying, verse 36, difference, verse 37, and continuity, verse 38, all illustrated by nature. Secondly, Paul uses the unique form of the body to be resurrected in verses 39 through the first half of verse 42. From the first analogy that life comes forth out of death, Paul moves to a second analogy. And what is the second analogy? It is the dissimilarity of all flesh, right? Our flesh is different than fish flesh and bird flesh and other kinds of flesh. Amen? Amen? Kind of special humanity is. Amen? And so as we move on to that third answer that Paul's trying to get across to the Corinthian church, we talk about this evening, and that is the difference between the earthly and the glorified. The difference between the earthly and the glorified. Now, something to think about. On the Mount of Transfiguration, you had Jesus gets up there, and it's Elijah, right? On one side, and Moses on the other. And Peter wanted to do what? He wanted to make kind of like a temple for, right? Yeah. Let's just stay up here on the mount. Have you ever? And then Enoch didn't die. And Elijah didn't die. Moses died, but Enoch. Do those Enoch and Elijah specifically, do they have this glorified body that we speak of? Some scholars say yes, some scholars say no. It's just something to think about. I've often thought that an interesting topic to kick around. Amen? Amen? The difference between the earthly and the glorified. The good news is if you're saved, you're going to get a glorified one. Amen? And one day if Enoch and Elijah don't have a glorified body, they're going to get one too. If they already have it, well, then that's fine. But as we focus more directly on the resurrection body, as the Apostle Paul does, Paul here mentions specific ways given as four sets of contrast in which our glorified bodies one day will be different from our earthly bodies. Contrast number one, if you're taking notes, the first contrast deals with durability. Amen? Durability. We all like things that are durable, do we not? Right, amen. We like durable shoes. We like durable boots. We like durable jeans. We like durable tools. We like a durable truck. Amen? We want a durable truck. We want a durable firearm. Amen? We don't want a cheap, junky firearm. We want one that we can hand down and that the next generation can hand down. We want something that's durable. Amen? Well, these bodies we're living in have a shelf life on them. They're not very durable. At least mine's, I mean, I praise God for it, but I'm wondering, man, I can't wait till I get a more durable body. I was reminded of that tonight when that Charlie horse locked in. Woo, man, you're talking about rattle you. That'll get your attention quick. My wife ran in the room and said, what? I couldn't even talk. It hurt so bad. You ever hurt that bad? The Charlie horse. I guess we men are just big sissies. None of us have had children, so we shouldn't talk about pain and threshold and all that. But anyway, it hurt. All right, the first contrast deals with durability. Let's look at this passage here, verse 42. So also is the resurrection of the dead. Here we go. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. One of the most obvious characteristics of all natural life, including human life, is that life is corrupted. It is perishable, subject to deterioration and eventual death. Now, I tested this theory many years ago, 1991 or so. I was traveling abroad, and I found myself in the capital of Micronesia. Which, anyone know what the capital of Micronesia is? Just a little trivia for you. Anybody? Micronesia, South Pacific. Nobody knows the capital? Are you ready? Yap. Yap, Micronesia. Baby, that's the capital. What's the capital? Yap. Y-A-P. Yap. The CBs were there when I was visiting there. They had a post there, and I was going to visit a cousin who was in the Peace Corps at the time. He wasn't on Yap, but you had to fly into Yap and then take a plane from Yap to get to the Ulithi Atoll, which was a sunken, it was a submerged volcano. I say sunken. It was a submerged volcano. In the rim of the volcano was the Ulithi Atoll. It was the little chain of islands. And you could travel from island to island, from boat to boat, depending on how the tides were going. These guys would get out in 16-foot, 18-foot boats, and I mean the swells in the seas, you would just hold on for dear life. And you'd look at them, and they'd look at you, and they're all, no personal flotation device. They're just got an outboard motor, and they're just skimming that thing, and I'm like, you know, this is pretty fun. And my cousin, he's in the boat with me, he's just, yeah, don't fall out. And I'm like, why? Will they circle around and get me? And he goes, yeah, they'll circle around and get you. The sharks don't get you first. I mean, the sharks are just out there where we were at in the South Pacific. But anyway, before I get to the Ulithi Atoll, I was missing home. You know what I'm saying? Missing home. The food was different. You couldn't get milk, right? It was powdered milk. It was powdered eggs. It was just, you know, I was missing Denny's, man. I was missing Denny's. I was missing a Grand Slam breakfast. I was traveling abroad and I wanted to eat, right? And it was just kind of weird food that they would bring you. And they didn't want you to tip. You couldn't tip, and that was just bizarre. I was used to tipping people, and you couldn't tip anybody. You offend people over there if you tip, so you didn't tip. So anyway, I went to this little general store, and I looked around for something that would remind me of home, that would taste like home. I think I'd been out of the country for a week. And not long, but long for a single guy, you know, a young guy. And so I look, and lo and behold, there were some Del Monte raisins, man. A box of Del Monte raisins. Woo-hoo-hoo! The man, I want to have me some American raisin dried fruit, right? So I buy the raisins. I unwrap the raisins. I start eating the raisins. They tasted kind of funny. I mean, they tasted kind of funny. In my soul, I think I ate, you know, it was a little six-pack of those small boxes, you know, boxes about 2.5 inches high. I think I ate about 2.5 boxes of those. And finally I go, I bit into one. I was like, man, what's the deal? It's like 91. I turned over and looked at the box, and those raisins had expired. Are you ready? 8 years prior. Needless to say, I was to fly to the Ulithia Toll the following day. I spent all night and most of the early morning in front of the toilet driving the porcelain bus. I tell you what, when I got to the Ulithia Toll, I look like death warmed over. And there is no nurse. There is no doctor. There is no ER to go to, buddy. You're in the bush. So, yeah, man, they put me in a shack and put a mosquito net over me and just started handing me stuff. I'm like, what am I taking? He said, don't worry about it. This will keep you alive. Just take it. I took it, and I lived, and I praise God for it. Amen. But perishable is what I'm trying to get to. Perishable. Everything has an expiration date. Amen. Did you know that your milk that you drink, for every hour it sits on the loading dock when they deliver it to Walmart, or they deliver it to Sam's, or they deliver it to Kroger, or they deliver it to HEB, I don't care what brand it is, Borden, or their store brand, or Country Fair, or Great Value, every hour it sits out on the dock, nobody's touched it, it loses a day of expiration. Perishable. Your eggs can go bad. Meat can go bad. Meat don't go bad in my house, but in some houses it can go bad. Amen? If there's meat in the freezer, it's getting cooked in my house. Amen? We're going to eat it. But I mean, in some places, perishable, right? Our lives are corrupted. They are perishable, subject to deterioration and eventual death. Even in the healthy, even in a healthy little infant, a brand new baby, the process of aging and deterioration has already begun. Amen? That means it's already begun. Even the healthiest people, as they get older, become weaker and more subject to disease and various physical problems. It's just part of the what? Part of the process. So death rapidly accelerates decay. We're so corrupted. And perishable. John chapter 11, verse 39 says, Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, oh, by this time he stinketh. We better not, for he hath been dead how many days? 4 days. 4 days. The purpose of embalming is to retard deterioration of the body as long as possible. But even the Egyptian mummification process, which was thousands of years ahead of its time, even that process, or today's process, the science of embalming today, could not and cannot prevent deterioration, much less restore life. One of the tragic consequences of the fall was that men's bodies from that time on were irreversibly mortal. Irreversibly mortal, subject to death. Without exception, every human being is sown, that is, born with a corrupted body. That's kind of a sobering thought, isn't it? Well, I came to church to be encouraged tonight, amen? Well, I'm going to try to encourage you because we have a resurrection body a-coming, amen? Because the Bible says it is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption, amen? Raised in incorruption. The resurrection body of the believer will be raised imperishable. Won't have a date on it because it won't be in time. Time will not matter a hill of beans anymore for us. Amen? Our new bodies will know no sickness. They will know what? No decay, no pain, no deterioration, or death. That'll all be over. Well, the first contrast deals with durability. The second contrast has to do with value and potential. Value and potential. Let's continue on. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. The second contrast has to do with value and potential. At the fall, man's potential man's potential for pleasing and serving God was radically reduced at the fall. Radically reduced at the fall. Not only man's mind, but his body became less motivated in doing what God had designed his body to do. His body had been designed to fellowship and worship the Almighty God. But when sin entered the world, man began to serve and worship himself. You see that? A subtracted from potential ability to do what we've been created to do. The creature that was made perfect and in the very image of his creator was made to glorify his creator in all that he did. But through sin, that which was created to honor God became characterized instead by dishonor. See, we dishonor God. We dishonor Him by our inability to take advantage fully of what He has given us in His creation. Right? God's given us some great stuff to worship Him with. Right? He's given us time to worship Him. He's given us talents and ability to worship Him, to bring glory and honor to His name. Even the most faithful believer dies with his body in a state, his body now, in a state of dishonor, a state of imperfection, a state of incompleteness. His body, not his spirit, but his body. But that imperfect and dishonored body, one day, as God's Word says, will be raised in glory. Amen? Raised in glory. Throughout eternity, our new immortal bodies will also be honorable bodies, perfected for pleasing, perfected for praising, perfected for enjoying the Creator who made them and the Redeemer who restored them. Amen? Amen. You show me somebody who doesn't much like enjoy church, claim to be saved, but they don't like church or they don't like the people of God or the things of God. I doubt their salvation. But anyway, you know what I'm saying. I know God or I'm saved or whatever. What church do you attend? I don't. Why not? Well, you know, all the hypocrites and stuff, or whatever excuse they may give. Friend, do they not understand? Do they not grasp the big picture? That's what you be doing when you get to heaven. Amen? You're going to be worshiping your King. Worshiping the Master. Well, how long are we going to do that for? I have no idea. Remember I said don't use your watch when you're talking about this stuff. It's a calendar thing, but when you get there, you can even chunk out the calendar. Amen? Because time is no more. Time is no more. I know for the saved, it ain't going to matter. It's not going to matter. Amen? Amen. The second contrast has to do with value and potential. The first contrast deals with durability. The third contrast has to do with ability. We've talked about durability, now we're talking about ability. It has to do with ability. Our present bodies are characterized by weakness. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. Right? Our present bodies are characterized by weakness. Weakness. I'm living it. I know it. Amen? We are weak not only in physical strength and endurance, but also in resistance to disease and harm. And despite the marvelous natural protective mechanisms of the human body, no one is immune from breaking a bone. How many of you have broken a bone in here? I'm just curious. Broken bone people, hold your hands up. Well, let me count them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. 3 bones. All right, put your hands down. Those of us that have never broken a bone, raise your hand. What's about half and half? Y'all need to drink some milk, you bone breakers, amen? Get your calcium in you, all right? But I mean, somebody could break my bones. I mean, you know, if you took a baseball bat to me, you could break some bones. I mean, bad enough car wreck. No one is immune to not having a bone broke, amen? Or cutting a leg. I mean, how many of you have had stitches? think we've all had stitches. Oh, look at the hand. Sissy, you not had stitches? Oh, Sissy, we're going to have to talk to Lee about that. You hadn't lived until you've had stitches, amen? You remember your first stitches? Anybody? Well, I was a little bitty spit. Got my foot caught in the spokes of a bicycle, right? I was on the back, and I had an older cousin pedaling the bike, and my feet were going back and forth, and that right foot went in the spokes. I don't know how it, boy, it got sliced open. Yeah. And so I got home got back to my aunt's house in Oklahoma, and they looked at it, and he's got to go to the ER. He's got to go to the ER. And I didn't know what the ER was. I just remember going to Dr. Perenio, the Jewish doctor in Oak Cliff. He was nice. He always gave me a sucker, right? They took me to the ER. And then all these people started laying on top of me. And I was like, what's this all about? And somebody was taking a big old needle and sticking it in my foot so I wouldn't feel the stitches. Traumatic, amen? We all get what? We all get them, right? Cutting a leg, cutting a foot, catching various infections. And eventually, man, we're all going to die. We're all going to take a turn. We're all going to... If the Lord tarries and doesn't rapture His church, it's coming for all of us. Amen? We can and should minimize... What are these bodies? They're the what? They're the temple of the Holy Spirit. Amen? So there are some things that we can do to minimize the unnecessary dangers and risks to our bodies. Sissy's done a good job, amen? She's minimized the dangers. She's never had no stitches, right? No broke bones? Never broke a bone and no stitches. That girl's living right, amen? There you go. No stitches. So, no, she gets up in that deer stand and shoots some deer, brother. She's living dangerous and she still hadn't got hurt. All right, so here we go. We all catch these things, right? But we can do some things to minimize these dangers and these risks to our bodies. Because why? Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Amen? However, we cannot completely protect our bodies from harm, much less from death. People try. Well, I'm going to be cryogenically frozen. Or they're going to lop my head off, you know, when I die, and they're going to freeze it. You know, I can't afford to have my whole body frozen, but I'm going to pay to have my head frozen, and one day they're going to have the technology and bring me back, right? Ain't going to happen like that. But anyway, I mean, millions of dollars are spent all over the world, these kinds of ideas, to try to get past the death thing, right? Just get saved, that'll get you past it, amen? Amen. Just receive Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. That'll get you on to the other side. Amen? Our earthly temples are inescapably temporary and fragile. But our new bodies, God's Word says, will be raised in power. Have you ever thought about that? Raised in power. That's pretty good stuff. Raised in power. Now, we're not told what the power will entail. But we can think it this way. The power will be immeasurable compared to what we now possess. You won't even be able to measure. You won't even be able to compare what your body is one day to what it is now. It will be immeasurable. Let me remind you of what Matthew 26:41 says. This is Jesus speaking in Matthew's gospel. He says, "Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation." He said, "The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." One day, that passage won't apply to us anymore. One day, that will no longer apply to me and you. Amen? We will no longer apply. Anything our heavenly spirit determined to do, our heavenly bodies will be able to accomplish. That's amazing to me. Raised in power. The fourth and the last is simply this. The fourth contrast has to do with the realm of existence. We've talked about durability. We've talked about the contrast between value and potential. We've talked about the third contrast has to do with ability. And then fourthly, the fourth contrast has to do with the realm of existence. Verse 44, it is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. Our earthly body is strictly natural. It's a natural deal. Here, naturally, is the only realm in which our bodies can live and function. Now, the two exceptions, gave them to you at the front end, Elijah and Enoch. How does that all work? Pastor, do they have... I don't know. There are people on both sides of that deal. Well, yeah, they've got glory. Well, no, they don't have glory. God took them. Amen?
Amen.
So it's good enough for me. Enoch and Elijah. Even with the imperfections and limitations caused by the fall, think about it. These bodies that we have, our present bodies, we praise God for them. Amen? We praise God for these temples of the Holy Spirit. Even with the imperfections and the limitations caused by the fall, our present bodies are wonderfully made. Amen? They're wonderfully made for life on earth, marvelously suited for earthly living. Amen? Marvelously suited to be here. Luke chapter 20, verses 34 and 36, Luke's gospel says, Jesus said to them, the sons of this age marry and are given in marriage, but those who are considered worthy to attain to that age and the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage, for they cannot even die anymore, because they are like angels. They are like angels and are sons of God, being sons of the resurrection. Amen. That's victory stuff. We sang about the victory tonight. Amen. In the resurrection, everything about us will be perfected for all eternity. We'll not be the same as angels, but God's Word says we will be like angels. And what does that mean, Pastor? It means that we too will be perfectly equipped. We will be suited for heavenly, spiritual, supernatural living. Amen? Well, I'm glad we're covering 1 Corinthians 15. Because I want to tell you, in a new age world that we're living in, with just the weird things that go on and the weird cults and religions that are out there, Jesus died on the cross in a body and died in a body to make a way for all of you, your soul, your spirit, and your body, to be in heaven one day. Amen? All of you is going. Not just a piece of you, a part of you, every bit of you. You say, well, this body, I'm going to get a new body. There's going to be some... Hey, man, you're going to have a body one day. Amen? And you're going to... It's a trade-up program. You're going to be excited about trading it in. Amen? Getting your new one. Right? And you're not going to be crying. Well, I don't know. You know, I lived in that body for 80 years. I don't know if I can give it up. Well, check out this one. Okay, here you go. I mean, it's going to be nice. It's going to be nice. No, you're going to take it. You're going to take it. It's awesome. Amen?
Amen?
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you. We thank you, Lord, for our continued study in the resurrection body. And, Lord, we pray that for those that have lost loved ones, Miss Karen and others, Lord, in the church, Lord, may we be encouraged that we're going to see those folks again. They're not going to be hurting anymore. They're not going to be in pain anymore. They're not going to be sick anymore. Oh, we meet them again, Lord. They're going to be fine. It's going to be great. It's going to be grand. Raised in power. Created to worship you. All fixed up and ready to go. It's going to be an awesome time. Thank you for the marriage supper of the Lamb that we have to look forward to. We praise you tonight. Lord, be with us as we get into this prayer time. And Lord, I pray that you would just speak through each of us as we intercede on behalf of others. Thank you again for this opportunity to be here. It's in your name we pray. Amen. All right, well, let's look at our prayer. Anybody have testimonies, praises?